Good morning, church. Let's just give it up one more time for the youth band. I don't know if you guys remember last year, actually, Memorial Day, I got to speak and the youth band got a chance to play, and it was a little bit of a mix between the regular service band and the youth band. And actually, not even 2 years ago, our youth group didn't even have a band. So this is amazing to see what God has done and just the amount of practice and time that these students have put in and just really the love for God that they have. So it's really cool. The ministry in the student area is just going amazing. We've got kids that are getting called into ministry and pursuing God like never before. So it's exciting. I'm going to jump right in today, and I just want to share with you guys. So I'm a new father. My son's almost a year old. He'll be a year June 25th. It's coming up quick. And for those of you that have kids or those of you that don't, you probably all know this. You don't get much sleep when you're a new parent. Faith and I, my wife, we actually did get a decent amount of sleep after he turned 4 months. It's been great. But in the past 2-3 weeks, it's been horrible. I don't know what's going on. He's teething. He's crying. He's a kid. He's a baby. I don't get it. But one thing I found with this time of lack of sleep is I found this enjoyment for binge watching shows when he's up late at night. Anyone else with me? You know, if you can't sleep, you find a Netflix show and you find something. Well, I found this show that some of you that are a little more mature in life, maybe you recall this show, but it's not the same show. It's this show about a family who goes out into space to colonize and they get lost in space. And this family is going on these adventures, and they land in the new show on the Netflix one. They land on this planet, and it looks a lot like Earth. The terrain is very similar. The plant life is the same. They're able to breathe on this planet, but it's very different. Very different. It's dangerous. It's deadly. If they don't watch their step, they might step into an area where plants are actually poisonous. Creatures that don't look so dangerous turn out to be dangerous. And along with that, people show up on this planet as well who they don't know if they can trust or not. Now, with this show, one of the things I really love most is this family comes in contact with a robot. And this robot, if I can get the clicker, it's not... There we go. Sorry, that was a little spoiler there. So, this family comes in contact with the robot. The boy there, his name is Will Robinson. And he comes in contact with this robot, and they build a bond. And this robot has Will's back. Anywhere he goes, when he's unsure of what the terrain is like, what kind of creatures are out there, whether someone can be trusted or not, this very, very iconic phrase is said. Now it doesn't want to work. Danger, Will Robinson. If you couldn't hear it because it's a little, robotic and everything, he warns him. Danger, Will Robinson. For those of you that remember the old show, danger, Will Robinson, danger, right? How great is that, that this kid has his own defense system? It lets him know when he's going to walk into a death trap. It lets him know when some sketch person is coming up on him and he needs to run. It lets him know when he should or shouldn't be involved in things. Man, I want that robot. I'm going to try getting this clicker to reboot real quick just to make sure. But life is like the Robinson family. We're in a time, if you look around, if you watch any kind of news today, if you walk around enough, you see that this world is constantly changing. And what used to be familiar and safe is no longer familiar and safe. The world is plagued with these monsters, if you will, these poisonous foods that look safe to eat, these things that look good and pleasing to the eye, but they're death, these perilous terrains. Worldly truth constantly is changing. How do we know how to live? What do? We need we need a robot. Unfortunately, I don't think we have the robot to let us know how to live a life like that. Would you just pray with me real quick so we can open up into God's word? Lord, I thank you so much for just the opportunity to speak today. I thank you for just bringing us here together. God, I pray that you would just let my words fall short and that the words and the message and the truth that you want this church family to hear today would just be spoken loud and clear. God, I pray that you would just touch our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So one thing about Scripture is looking in the New Testament, it warns us constantly to not be deceived. Over and over again, you could read through the New Testament and you see, do not be deceived. Watch your doctrine closely. Pay attention to what you have been taught. Now, I don't know about you, but when I get reminded over and over to do something, you know, when I was growing up and my parents would remind me and warn me about, hey, you need to make sure to do this. Don't forget to do this. I'd get a little annoyed. I'd feel like, you don't trust me. Sometimes I can feel that way with God. I go, God, I got this. I've been in church for quite a while now. Well, it's a word to all of us. Don't be deceived. And it's not because we don't recognize, you know, the scary looking person lurking in the corner with a trench coat and a bag of candy saying, hey, come on over. You want the candy? Deception is subtle. Deception sneaks up on us. It's something really familiar to the truth. It's something really familiar to something good. But we need the robot. I promise it's the last time I'm going to play it. You won't hear it again. But I love this scripture. Just as Pastor Greg talked about, you know, this conference coming up, it's important for us to get rooted in the truth. And this is where I want to open up today to start us off, Colossians 2, 6 through 8. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. Get rooted in. Church, today, my whole goal for you guys is just to share some dangers that we have to watch out for. I'm not here to tell you, hey, this thing in your life right there, that's a death trap. That's a deception. You got to get rid of that. That's not my job. My job is to give you some work, some filters to identify and know what's good and what's wrong. And then you do the work with the Holy Spirit in your life. But today I want to just tell you, society's constantly changing. We look at it. I mean, how many of you were around before a flip phone? All of you that don't have your hands up, find these people and learn life from them, okay? I remember going to high school and not having a phone. Today, these kids, they are not only attached to a phone, they're attached to the web. They're attached to anything and everything they can get their hands on. And it's crazy. It's a dangerous time. How do you know how to live? For us, nowadays, we go to our jobs and maybe we start hearing things and we get talked to about how we need to be more accepting of other people and the way that they live their life and that our Christian views need to kind of hush a little bit. What is the truth? How do we know how to live? In order to live lives that are right for God, we need to know how to filter what's right from wrong. God's word is always true, and it will light up the room. It will show us, and it will illuminate those areas of danger. You think about when you go camping, one of the things that you always pack, yes, toilet paper is very important, but you pack a flashlight, right? Because you don't want to be walking in the middle of the path at night and then fall down that cliff. It'd be horrible, right? You don't want to walk and then all of a sudden step into a big pile of bear poop because you know the bear is somewhere around the corner. Like, you've got to watch out. You get a flashlight. You pay attention to where the path is. we're walking around in a time where it's dark. It is like, it's blurry. The lines are constantly shifting, and we need truth. So what kind of dangers do we need to watch out for? The first one is words. Half-truths, manipulations of the truth, false promises. It's really easy to get sucked into things that sound very similar to the truth, right? It's never going to be the one that is way off in the out there, right? The lies that you buy into are the ones that sound really close to the truth. What do we do in that moment? How do we, like, you look back to the very beginning in the Garden of Eden with the serpent. He didn't just go out with some, like, whacked out crazy thing. He took the truth and he manipulated it. He twisted it just a little bit to sound enticing. We need to watch very carefully the words that we're buying into, the information that we're taking in, the things that people tell us, hey, this is really cool. You should buy into this. It's really good for you. You know, it's this new health kick. You know, it's legal now. Watch out for those things because it's a gray area. The next danger is social norms and acceptances. Sugar-coated poisons, if you will. Things that look tasty and yet are death. In Proverbs 16, verse 25, it says, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. Now, I've got this confession to make to you guys. Late at night, when I'm driving after a long night with the youth group, sometimes I get hungry. I don't eat here all the time. I get exhausted. And when I'm hungry like that and I'm driving at night by myself down the road, I see the flashing light, Jack in the Box. Now, if you're laughing, you've probably been there with me, right? It's cheap, it's quick, and they got the 99-cent two-taco deal. Oh, so good, right? You look at that screen, you see the picture, and it just looks so good. The cheese is angled up all nice, and, you know, it's got the nice little corner on it. And I buy those tacos, and I start just scarfing them down, and I feel like death afterwards. Poison just to my soul, right? Like, we look at what looks good in the moment. It looks like it has all this benefit for us, and then we scarf it down. We buy into this thing. We jump on our phone late at night or watch TV, and we might quickly fall into a trap and feel death, feel this just poison seeping into our bodies. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. Don't eat Jack in the Box. It will lead to death. The other example is shifting lines and subtle deception. Church, this is a really scary one. As I look, you know, some of us, we have these programs on our phones, these apps, Snapchat, Instagram, and there's all these fun filters that they put on there now, right? Like you can pull up your phone and put it a selfie mode on, and it'll make you have these cool glasses or give you, like, you know, all the flashing lights in the background. Well, they also have this other filter where it can turn a guy into a woman, give them all the pretty makeup and everything, make them all beautified. And same thing with a woman, give her a beard and everything. Now, I know it's playful, you know, don't get me wrong. I thought, oh, what would I look like without a beard? My wife doesn't even know. Just kidding. But we look at that and it seems playful. But church, I want to challenge us just a little bit, because this is something that's been sitting inside of my heart. As I look at this, I started to just feel this tugging at my spirit. What kind of subtle deception is this? We look at where the agenda is going of you can change to be whatever you want. If you don't want to be a guy, okay, change and be a girl. And Snapchat makes it all fun, so you could test it out. And young kids are on this now. elementary school kids, and they start looking at this and changing, and I just wonder, is this a subtle deception? I'm not telling you, you know, if you've done this, shame on you. I'm in the fun too, but I just wonder, is this possibly a subtle deception of the enemy that sneaks up into us, that makes us go, well, it's now just, you know, one more step pushing the envelope. A better example might be this, TV. I don't know this because I wasn't born back then, but I hear that early on with TV, married couples on TV had two separate beds if they ever showed their room. That's what I hear, right? Can anyone vouch for that? Okay, good. Then there was an envelope pushed, something called Three's Company or something. That the group was in the same apartment together, two women and a guy. At the beginning, it wasn't okay to even show a married couple together. And then it got pushed just a little bit more. And now you look at TV, it's rare to find a show where there aren't people sleeping together before marriage. It's rare to find a show that doesn't have couples hooking up. I find myself watching shows, and if I watch a show and I go, oh, okay, this one's not too bad. You know, it didn't show too much skin. I'm okay with that one. It, you know, there's only that one moment where they had that girl-girl relationship thing. It got a little awkward, but I just fast forward through it. Where's the envelope getting pushed? Where's the line getting pushed? It's not that bad. Church, if today you find yourself in any kind of entertainment saying, well, it's not that bad, maybe take a moment and stop and ask yourself, is this just another subtle deception sneaking its way into our lives? Because here's the thing. You hear the analogy of the frog in the pot. You don't cook it just by throwing it in hot water. You throw it in the water and you turn the water up slowly until it cooks. Is our morality, is our spiritual walk slowly getting turned up more and more against God to be okay with not too much skin? The next one, monsters. I'm not calling you all monsters, don't worry. People. We have to watch out for people that are deceptive, that are coming to deceive us. The scripture talks about wolves in sheep's clothing, specifically people that are speaking the word and deceiving. We have to watch and see where there is fruit, if there's fruit, good fruit coming from their lives, or if there's not. The next one, catfish. How many of you guys know that I'm not talking about a catfish that you go and cook up? But catfish, if you know anything about that, it's this thing where people online, they create a profile. And they go on a dating site and they have this profile and they start connecting with someone. And this person connects with this catfish who seems like the perfect person. Guy finds this girl online and she seems like this beautiful girl with a great personality who loves everything that he likes. And then one day he finds out, after falling head over heels for her but never met her in real life, that it's a dude. An old dude with some gross habits. What the heck? Like, that's a catfish. That's a catfish. Now, I'm not talking about actually real catfish or real, real catfish. I'm talking about people in our lives that appear to be living one way, that tell us, oh, yeah, I go to church over at this church over there. I'm on the worship team. I love Jesus. But then in real life, they're just like some... Their life's not so right. They walk in a way that's not so right. They're the one that in reality is in the shadows, lurking around, trying to deceive. Or maybe they're not intentionally trying to, but they just don't realize it. We got to watch out for those kind of people. What kind of people are you letting into your life? Letting into your circle of influence? I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. For such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice because of you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. You ever find that person that just sticks around with you and they start talking up things and you kind of build up a bromance, or I don't know what the term for a gromance. You just fall in love with the person. You're like, dude, this is my best friend. And then one day you realize after spending so much time with them how it's affecting you, that you kind of mirror image them and you realize not in a good way. We have to watch out for those kind of people. And the last one I had up there was a salesman. The person who pitches the promises, that says everything's going to be great. Come on in, just do this kind of thing and let's be a part of this. Oh, you know, and they sell all the things that you know in reality God has called you away from. But you get sucked in over and over again and you sign up for it and you get in on it. And then you paint it off for the rest of your life. Don't get sucked in by those kind of people. The last one before we move on to the filters is ourselves. We have to watch out for being deceived by ourselves. Our flesh is one of our biggest enemies. I don't want to be up here on stage on a Sunday morning sharing God's word with you guys. I want to be in bed. I don't even want to be here on a Wednesday night. I want to go and do what I want to do. My flesh wants what it wants. But I need to not buy into that. I got to watch out for that. Scripture says this: do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. Don't be deceived by yourselves, church. And there's this scripture as well. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Church, we have this expectation versus reality issue going on. We think that we look one way, and in reality, we're a whole different way. What perception do you have of yourself? What perception are you trying to give other people today? And then what is the truth? What does God see? You know, maybe your life, you think that maybe your life is looking one way, and in reality, when people see you, they see a different person. They might see something that looks, you know, expectation versus reality here. Church, what does your life look like? What are the things that you're buying into, that you're investing in? Your quiet time, your time with God, is it intentional? Is it real? Or do you feel good about getting that one scripture in and posting it on Facebook to show that you've read scripture today? Expectations versus reality. Our lives need to be transparent. We can't be this weird-looking panda ice cream that looks like Mickey Mouse. We've got to be real. And even more important, God sees who you are. We may walk around thinking we're it. We're the best thing ever, right? Like, I go around sometimes and I go, oh man, I'm feeling really good about myself. I'm on this streak of reading my Bible. I'm spending all this time in ministry with the kids on the campus. I'm doing so well. And then God just goes, really? That's what you really are looking like right now. What's going on with your heart, with how you treat your wife? With how you're handling conflict with other people, with what you think about that other person in ministry and your competitive nature. Folks, can we just merge it today and get right and be the real person? Let's not deceive ourselves. Does this work? Yeah. If we look like that, let's just be honest with that's what we look like and not like that. I want to look like Iron Man, but I probably look like that more often. So let's accept that and then start to change. In life, there's different detection systems to identify dangers. There's metal detectors at airports. There's carbon monoxide detectors that help you, that are able to allow you to sleep at night and feel safe and know that you're not breathing anything in. There's radar for when you're flying in poor visibility. There's mercury detectors so you can eat that salmon and enjoy it and the tuna and not have to worry about mercury getting in you. And there's even gluten detectors. Because we all understand what gluten is, right? What if we have a detector to help our lives? We need a detector that doesn't shift, that remains constant, where truth and good is determined by the one who created everything, who knows everything. Church, instead of us trying to be the ones to detect it, let's go back to the one who created everything. So my detectors that I want to present to you today, God's word. First and foremost, get into God's word. Get to know it. Read it. Do not merely listen to it, though. As it says in James, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. How many of us know if I go, well, I'm not gluten. Leanne, I hope this is okay. You're my office mate, so I'm sure you're going to be okay with it. If Leanne decides to eat gluten, if she tests out a gluten thing for her food, she's gluten intolerant. She can't have it. It does not go well with her. If she tests it and then she goes, oh, it's saying it's got gluten. I'm going to eat it. Why would you do that? What? You go and you check out the, metal detector and you see the metal detector goes off as the person walks through and the guy's like, oh, no, you're good. Keep going. No, not if I'm on that plane. You better check him. What about our own lives? If the Bible tells us what to do and we don't do it, we're foolish. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Now, just for a moment, for some of you, I know that might actually be a real thing. You might look in a mirror and forget. They're not talking about you in this moment, okay? But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. I don't know about you, church, but I want to be blessed. So the first step, the first detector, the first filter that we need is more of God's word. If you think you're good with it, get more into it. You look at Psalms, and I love this passage. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but you look at where it says right there, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Folks, we need to know God's word so well that as soon as we start going toward one of those dangers, bing, red light. No, stop. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Don't go there. Oh, but maybe I should just check out this app on my phone. Oh, hey, what's this? Nope. Stop right there. Hey, we're all going to go to this bar and I think you're okay. You're 2 weeks sober, right? Nope. Stop right there. Sorry, sir. Hey, check out that girl. No way, sir, right? Immediately. It needs to be immediate, and it needs to be because God's word is hidden in our hearts. The second detector, by no means more or less important because it's God, the Holy Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. If you're having trouble finding yourself gravitating toward danger and pitfall, you might need to get more time with God. You might need to be going and seeking the Holy Spirit, asking God to fill you or refill you with His Holy Spirit. The Spirit is there not to shame us, but to convict us. Conviction is our friend. Shame is not. Shame is a powerful tool of the enemy. But conviction is a very good friend of ours. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit is contrary, what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Just as I said, we're constantly at war. We have the flesh that wants and deceives us. God's Spirit inside of us is that detector to say, no, you're not going to go there. We need more of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The last detector, others. You need other people in your life to build you up. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of the enemy. And as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Church, I'm not telling you to just only be friends with Christians, because that's not what God tells us to do. He tells us to go out and be the light of the world, to love others, to love our neighbors, and to reach out to those and build disciples. So if I told you don't have friends except for Christians, I'd be preaching something false. But what I am telling you, and what is important, is to have influences in your life that are godly, that do point to truth, that have these same filters and detectors in their lives, that steer clear of dangers and pitfalls. If you look at your friend list, and I'm not talking about Facebook, is your friend list more strengthened by the non-Christians influencing your life or the godly Christians in your life that want to pursue God? We have to do some evaluating. Folks, as we get closer to the end times, the world's just going to continue to become more and more blurry, more and more dark. There's going to be more and more people deceiving us, more flashy things deceiving us, things that look good, things that sound good, that probably do taste, feel, and even sound like are great for us in the moment, but boom, afterwards, leave us empty. It's just going to get worse. The Bible tells us that. Things that are going to continue to manipulate and twist the truth. And so we have to watch out. We have to guard our lives, our minds, our hearts, and we have to stay on track with God's word. I want to have the worship team come on up. I want to finish with this passage right here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says this. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It's going to happen, church. It already is happening. While evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Now listen closely. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Folks, today, whether you are in a place where you're just confident, you feel good about this, or you're someone that you're sitting here and you just realize, man, I need to reassess my people around me, the entertainment around me. I've been deceived. I want to tell you, God's word, it's true. God's spirit living in us is a wonderful, sweet friend of ours who loves us. God loves us and does not want to leave you empty. Would you just go ahead and bow your heads? As we wrap up today, I just want to tell you, wherever you're at, whether you know God yet or you don't, He loves you. And if you've messed up, if you've gotten so sidetracked and so overwhelmed and enveloped by deception and darkness, by things that just suck you dry, I'm not here to shame you today. I'm here to tell you that you have a Savior who loves you and who died for that very reason. And today, we have an opportunity to just respond. And because of that love, because of that sacrifice that we sang of, that we listened about, we heard of today, we have a chance to respond now and just choose a new way.
Please see our website at www.alagonline.com. That's www.alagonline.com. Or you can call us at area code 408-252-2668. Our address is 10,100 North Selling Road in Cupertino, California.